As I was talking to the children earlier about light, I want to just reiterate that light is absolutely essential to life on Earth. Think about light from the sun. It's our primary source of energy for life. It enables photosynthesis in plants, which feeds our planet. It regulates sleeping and waking cycles, which is why we're off this morning by an hour, right? Kind of messed us up. Sunlight is a source of vitamin D. UV light is used to disinfect air and water. Proper lighting improves safety and reducing accidents. Light is required for vision. That's why I keep saying, let's turn on the light so I can see. As I get older and older, I need more and more light. Light is required for vision, allowing for organisms to interact and navigate. Adequate light and exposure impacts our moods, helps to prevent seasonal depression. Without light, this planet would be uninhabitable, and the biological processes of sustaining light would cease. And so every day, we can be thanking the Lord for his provision of light in a dark world. And we know from Genesis chapter 1, where God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And that act by which God did that, is the reason why he did that, was to point ahead to the more important need of our having Jesus Christ come into the world as the light of the world coming into our dark world. And so as we continue to look at God's word, the Apostle Paul writes to the church about doing ministry, light in the darkness. So I would ask you, please continue, open up your Bibles with me. We're going to be continuing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So I encourage you to open up your Bibles or one of the church Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's found on page 1157. And as is our tradition, I would ask that you please stand with me that we might honor Christ and his word. And I would ask you please follow along as I read. This is God's holy, infallible, life-giving, and life-transforming word. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. May the Lord bless the reading, hearing, and obeying of his holy word. Would you please pray with me? Father God, we come before you again, giving you thanks and praise for your word. We know that your word gives us light into who you are, shows us who we are and our need for Christ. And so we pray, Lord, that help us by your spirit to understand your word, to apply it that we might live for you, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at God's word this morning, we'll begin to see God's provision for ministry. God's provision for ministry. But first, maybe we want to look at that word ministry and what it means. He is talking about gospel ministry. One theologian writes, "Ministry is defined as serving God and others with the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit." It is serving God and others with the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And Jesus himself stated in Matthew 20:28, speaking of himself, saying, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, which is that word for minister and ministry, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. The word ministry from our passage comes from the word diakonia, which is where we get our word for the office of deacon, which is ministry. It's a ministry of serving. And we're all called to that ministry of serving, whether or not you're a deacon or not. We are all called to be doing ministry and serving in that way. Gospel ministry, in a broader sense, is serving God and serving others by telling them about Jesus. Paul starts out in verse 1 by saying, we have this ministry. And the we that he is talking about is all of the people that God has in his church who are professing faith and who possess faith. You can't just profess faith, right? You can't just say, I have faith. You have to have that faith. And God gives us faith, and then he transforms us in order that we would be doing ministry in his name. And not everyone is called to be doing full-time gospel ministry, like a missionary, perhaps, or a pastor. But we are all called to be involved in doing gospel ministry. And the Apostle Paul continues to tell the church that God's initial provision for ministry is mercy from God. That's how we have, that's the ability that we have to be able to do ministry. We have received this call to gospel ministry because we have received mercy from God. God's mercy can simply be defined as his giving us what we do not deserve. I'm sorry. His giving us what we do deserve, right? His not giving us what we do deserve, right? I'm going to get that clear. His not giving us what we do deserve. God's mercy is his not giving us what we deserve for our sin and rebellion towards him. Years ago, I know many of you have heard the story about when I was disobedient. It's one of many of times I was disobedient, but this one's a highlight in my life, or a low light, perhaps. When my friends and I decided that we would have a fun time in the middle of the night, in the darkness of night, going out and borrowing people's cars for a joyride. We were not intending to steal them, but we certainly didn't get their permission to take their cars for a ride either. It was in the darkness of night that we made these foolish decisions, and our plan at the end of the night was getting caught by the police and having several charges brought against each one of us. And I will never forget, a few months later, on my mother's 40th birthday, September 21st, we go to court. What a wonderful day for my mom, right? And so we go to court, and I'm there because of my sinful disobedience. And as I stand before the judge, he explained that because my friends and I had taken several people's cars, he could, in fact, justly punish me by placing me into a juvenile detention facility that very day. I was quite nervous about that. And yet he said, yet I'm going to show mercy to you, young man. And that's when I understood a little bit of the mercy of God. Here was the extension of a mercy of a judge who allowed me to do hours of service and whatnot. And I was very, very grateful. And my life had changed in many ways. I was very thankful for their mercy that it was extended to me by that judge. But you know, if each one of us who have Christ in our lives, we should be thinking about the mercy that God has extended to us is so much more. It's not being just sent away to a detention facility, but the punishment that we deserve for our sins is to be sent away to hell and being punished forever and ever. Yet God, who is perfectly holy and just, is also perfectly loving and merciful, and he extends his mercy to those who put their faith and trust in Christ alone. Jesus is, in his love, took the punishment that we deserve by dying on a cross for us. He paid the price for the sin that we deserve. And this is God's glorious provision of his mercy towards his people. And this is the mercy that was extended to the Apostle Paul, who was once known as Saul. You know his story. Saul was a very religious man, and yet he was very much in opposition to Christ and his followers. God got a hold of Saul, and what did he do? He blinded him, his biological eyes. He blinded his biological eyes, kept him in the dark, that he would truly see Jesus for who he was and for what Saul did. And it is in the book of Acts that we see his conversion being from an enemy of Christ to a disciple and follower of Christ. And it is here that Saul was he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed down around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you'll be told what you must do." This was the beginning of the transformation of Saul to Paul, who God extended his mercy and called him to be doing gospel ministry in his name. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, "Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy." He was shown mercy from God. Our story may not look as dramatic as the Apostle Paul's transformation, but what God did in our lives is just as amazing. His extension of his mercy to each and every one of you is just as amazing. For each one of us here today who believe and trust in Christ as your Lord have been given the mercy of God. And we can all say, even though we were sinful and defiant and rebellious people, God has extended his amazing mercy to us. It is the mercy of God that motivates us to do gospel ministry in his name. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, there was a man who was shown mercy by Jesus. The man who had previously been demon-possessed, and Jesus saved him and he transformed him. And Jesus then said, "Go home to your people and report to them the great things that the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy upon you." And what the man was called to do is what we are called to do, to tell that story of Jesus and his love, right? We are called to go and report the great things that the Lord has done to us and how the Lord has had and has mercy upon us. When we reflect upon God's mercy in our lives, it should motivate us to be doing gospel ministry in his name. But God not only provides us with his mercy, there are more things. I came up with an M word, more. So there are more things that God provides us to do to gospel ministry. In fact, he provides all that we need to do gospel ministry. Everything that we need comes from the Lord. When he extends us his mercy towards him, he also gives us his grace through faith in Christ Jesus. It is by grace alone and not in our own good works, our own ability. It is the free gift of God's grace to forgive us of our sins, to give us the righteousness of Christ. He gives us the Holy Spirit to every believer and promises to never leave us or forsake us. It is the provision of the Holy Spirit that gives us hope and strength and power to be doing gospel ministry in his name. He also provides every believer with one or more spiritual gifts for doing gospel ministry. If you haven't come yet, come out tonight. We're learning more and more about what it means to be having spiritual gifts, how the Spirit gives each one of us at least one spiritual gift or more to be doing ministry. And so come out tonight if you're able to do that. But that's what we're given. The Lord provides us with these things. He provides us as well with the spiritual armor of God, which includes the power of prayer and the word of God to do ministry. God provides everything that we need to be doing ministry in his name. And yet, even though he provides everything that we need, we experience problems in ministry, don't we? Paul talks about these things. We experience problems in gospel ministry. Problems can come in various forms, but Paul shares about discouragement in ministry. He shares about discouragement in ministry. He uses the word losing heart in doing ministry. It is the idea of being weary and exhausted and overwhelmed in doing ministry. One author writes that people lose heart and grow weary in doing ministry due to burnout from overcommitment, unrealistic expectations, lack of visible results, unaddressed personal spiritual needs, the high emotional demand coupled with volunteer turnover, loneliness, hidden nature of spiritual work. All of these can be causes for people who are doing ministry to feel discouraged, unsupported, and emotionally drained. If you've been in ministry, if you've been doing ministry in the church long enough, I'm certain that you've been discouraged at one point in time or another. I think about a guy who probably should have been very discouraged. His name was William Carey, the father of modern missions. And he should have been someone who was very discouraged in doing gospel ministry. He spent 7 years from 1793 to 1800 in the country of India, preaching and translating the Bible without one single convert. Can you imagine? I'm called to be a missionary. He was called to be a missionary in India. Goes there 7 years. And despite intense loneliness and family tragedy, had a child die, poverty, he persevered, and eventually he baptized his first convert, Krishna Pal, in 1800. And his motto was, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Earlier in the Apostle Paul's letter in chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul shared with us the affliction that he experienced in doing ministry. And he showed how he was burdened beyond his strength, so that he was despaired even of life. And yet now, Paul is stating that because of God's provision of mercy and everything else that God provides, we do not need to be discouraged. We do not need to lose heart. We do not need to be discouraged. Why? Because God is sovereign and he is in control over everything, including doing ministry in his church. But there's also another problem. There's the problem of deception in ministry, or the problem of deceptive ministry. Deception in ministry happens, as Paul says in verse 2, by not renouncing the hidden and secret and shameful things, walking in craftiness and the adulterating of the word of God. There were these deceptive and false teachers that were making their way into the church, and they called themselves doing ministry. But Paul was talking about this deceptive ministry as they were trying to work their way into the church of Corinth. Paul warned of these false teachers who were trying to work their way into the lives of believers and into the church. And the apostle Peter also warned about these false teachers in 2 Peter, saying, but false teachers also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies and deny the master, namely Jesus, who brought them and bringing swift destruction upon themselves now. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them and the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. That's deception that is going on and trying to make its way into the church. Paul is warning the church that we need to renounce these things, but making it personal, we need to be renouncing and repenting of our own secret sins. Our secret sins of pride and selfishness and greed and other things as we are tempting to bring into ministry. The types of sinful deceptive ministry, these types of sinful deceptive ministry will only cause problems in real, true gospel ministry. Gospel ministry is not about competition, but about Christ, right? Gospel ministry is not about competition, but about Christ. Another problem, perhaps the biggest problem we have in doing ministry in the name of Jesus, is the devil. The devil is trying to actively destroy any and all types of ministry that are going on, any types of good gospel ministry. The devil is actively trying to destroy gospel ministry. It said, according to Reformed thought and literature, the devil attempts to destroy gospel ministry in several ways. Perhaps the primary way is the way the devil does that is to attack the word of God through distortion and deception. This is clear when he tried to unsuccessfully tempt Jesus into sin. The devil, what does he do? He misquotes scripture and misapplies scripture. We have to be careful. And meanwhile, Jesus refutes the devil's attempts with turning to the truth of the scriptures. The devil also desires to cause problems by dividing the church and to disrupt its true unity in Christ. The devil is trying to sow division and create internal strife. The devil uses deception, disorientation, and discouragement in order to diminish or dismantle gospel ministry. The devil is always trying to attack those who are engaged in gospel ministry, trying to get people to fall into their own temptation and sin and disrupt gospel ministry. And as Paul says in verse 4, the devil is the god of this world who is blinding the minds of unbelievers, that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. The devil hates the light of the gospel. Why? Because it exposes our sin and our need for Christ to save us. And yet we need to remember that the devil is already defeated. Amen? It is said the defeat of Satan, the devil, is understood as a decisive, accomplished victory achieved in the life, death, and resurrection and ascension of Christ. This perspective states that while the devil remains active, his legal power to condemn believers is taken away by Christ and what he has done on the cross. No longer is the devil able to abide in the life of a believer because you have the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul continues to show us that the Lord gives us purpose in ministry. The Lord gives us purpose in gospel ministry. The first and primary purpose for doing gospel ministry is to show praise to the Lord. That's our primary goal in doing gospel ministry, to show praise to the Lord. It is to glorify God in all that we do. It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is to show praise for God, and it is the opposite of giving ourselves praise and glory as we attempt to do ministry. When we show praise to the Lord, then gospel ministry becomes all about Christ and nothing about us. The Apostle Paul states in verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake." We show praise to the Lord by sharing the gospel with others. Gospel ministry means that we are sharing the gospel with others. God's purpose of ministry by sharing the gospel with others is something that many people struggle with, many Christians struggle with. The song we were singing earlier, we love to tell the story, but sometimes we're nervous about telling the story. Some of the reasons that Christians struggle with sharing the gospel have to do with fear and rejection, right? Let's be honest. When Jesus sent his disciples in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." That's good, right? He wants us, that's the encouragement, the challenge to go do that. And then he says, "Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." That's exciting. "Don't be afraid. I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." Well, perhaps that is why many Christians are afraid and fear rejection in sharing the gospel with others. But Jesus says in verse 16, he says, who are they rejecting? The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects you. Is that what he says? No. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, rejects Jesus. And the one who rejects Jesus is the one who is rejecting the one who sent me, God the Father. Another reason that people have for not sharing the gospel is the thought that it's not my job, or I don't have the gift of evangelism. You know, but you know what? We are all called to share the gospel with others, to share about Jesus with others, even if you do not have the gift of evangelism. Other people state that the reason they do not share the gospel with others is because they don't know how. Well, in the book of Ephesians, it states that God provides pastors and teachers who are there to help equip his people for works of ministry, and that would include evangelism and sharing the gospel with others. So if that is one of your reasons, that you do not know how, I would strongly encourage you to speak to myself or Pastor William. We're also going to be having a Share Your Faith workshop with Shabu Uman, one of our missionaries, going to come in and do a workshop on a Saturday. We'll let you know that date. It did change. We're going to be doing it in June. But if you do not feel equipped to share the gospel, then please talk to us. Don't be ashamed of that. I was in seminary, and I did not feel equipped. And so as I was here as an intern, I was invited, I was told by the senior pastor to, you know, go get equipped. Come to the evangelism training and that we have and be equipped. And it was a challenging time, but it was a good time. It's an important time, something, a very helpful tool that I have in the Lord. Sharing the gospel with others is something that we should be doing with others. And we are stating to others what Christ has done for us in his perfect sinless life, in his death on the cross, in his resurrection from the grave, so that we can have faith in Christ alone. Sharing the gospel with others means showing them who? Showing them Jesus, the light of the world. God's purpose and plan for our ministry is that we would shine the light of the world to them. Our purpose in gospel ministry is shine the light of the world in this world of darkness. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He further says in chapter 12, verse 46, I have come into this world as light, and whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If you believe and trust in Jesus, you will not remain in darkness. God's purpose and plan and ministry is for his people to shine the light of Jesus in this dark world so that they may believe and have that dark veil removed from their lives. Satan is not able to keep that veil away. And so we are so thankful that Christ has done that for us. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus says of his followers, and then he says, you. If you're a follower of Christ, then you are also the light of the world. We're not the light, but you are a light reflecting the light of others. It says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good works, your gospel ministry, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So when we truly believe in Jesus and trust in his life, death, and resurrection, then we are united with him. And this is how we are his church as the light of the world, reflecting Christ Jesus, the true light of the world. And as the light, we point people to Christ, who is able to be the true light, to shine into the darkness of their sinful hearts, showing them our need for forgiveness, showing us our need and way to have eternal life. It is Christ, the light of the world, who gives knowledge of the glory of God. And as we continue to do gospel ministry in his name, in the name of Jesus, we remember what? We remember his provision of mercy and more. And we do not lose heart because we are doing it in his will, to his glory. We don't have any reason, no real reasons, to ever lose heart or be discouraged. May we remember that Christ has already defeated the deceptive work of the devil. May we remember that God's purpose and plan for his ministry is for us to be doing this to his glory, to show the glory of God. We are to give praise and glory to God, and we're to share the love of Christ with others and to shine the gospel light to others in this dark, dark world. Our prayer is that we would continue to point people to Jesus, the one who shines. Jesus, shine. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We praise you for your goodness, your grace. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and his leadership in this church of Corinth and his showing them that we need to reflect upon the mercy of God as we do gospel ministry. We thank you that you are the one who provides us all that we need to do ministry in your name. And even with all the various problems that go on in ministry, we pray, Lord, that we'd be reminded that you have overcome these problems and that we can trust in you for your plan and purpose to share the light of Christ with others. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Please stand.